I hope you've come prepared to hear the Word of God, and I ask that you be attentive, follow along on your scriptures, and allow the Lord to teach you this day and to bring His Word to your heart. I'll turn it over now to our brother and assistant pastor, Adam Yates.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here this morning, and I hope that you have come prepared to hear a message this morning. And what I'd like to preach about today is reparation. I'll be honest with you, I had kind of spaced that I was preaching this morning until Wednesday when I heard it announced. And that's okay because I typically don't spend a lot of time preparing a sermon. Oftentimes I'll do it a day or two before and I have time from my busy week to just take time and to contemplate the scriptures. And this week has been very busy. This next week's going to be very busy. I have to go to work tonight and work all night and tomorrow night as well, and then back into my regular shift. Because of all the stuff that's been going on, you know, I found myself last night. We finished our fundraiser dinner here, and I went home, and my mind was not where it needed to be to be ready to expound upon the word of the Lord. And I had to take some time and go by myself some prayer and sang some hymns and had to draw my mind in. And as I found myself there where my mind was ready for the Lord to begin to show me and to help me to know what it was that I should speak about. You know, the Lord put this in my heart. You know, here I had a responsibility, and I had not made proper preparation for it. You know, I'm certain that most of us have that problem in our life, that oftentimes we find ourselves in our Christian walk, and all of a sudden we come up against something, we're not prepared for it. And I think we need to contemplate that a little bit today. I want to start with the scripture. I apologize, I didn't stand up at all during that last song. When I finally did, it was over. I was looking for a scripture, and I want to start there today in Acts in the 17th chapter. You know, here we find in the 17th chapter, Paul, here he is, and he's there, and he's in Athens. And he's up on Mars Hill, and he's talking to all these Athenians who believe in all these various gods, and he's giving a discourse to them. He's presenting them the case for God. You know, they had identified, they have a statue, and it was the unknown God. And he told them, listen, this is the unknown God. It is Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 24, he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing that He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations for men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And this is the verse I want to concentrate on today, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You know, this is something that I want to contemplate today. As I sat last night and I thought about it and I felt convicted in my heart, you know, that here we serve a God who is ever-present. We serve a God who is there and desiring a communication, a conversation, a give and take between us. And yet we can find that if we are not prepared to hear Him, if we're not trying to feel after Him, we won't find Him. Although He's not far from us. He's right there before us. I want to talk today about preparation. I want to read another scripture. If you'd turn to Ephesians in the 6th chapter. And I want to ask you, if you've done this today, is this something that you have done in preparation of coming here today? Ephesians in the 6th chapter, starting in the 18th verse, Paul says this. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. He says, what you need to be doing is you need to be always in prayer, supplicating the Spirit, having a give and take, communication with the Lord through His Spirit, for perseverance in life, for supplicating for all of the saints, for the needs of the people around you. It says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, did you come here today doing that? You all knew that you were going to come here this morning and you were going to hear somebody preach. Did you pray for me today? It's important. And we think about it. This is what Paul's saying. He says, you know, there are those around you who have a responsibility to take the gospel. Do they get your prayers? When you come here, did you prepare yourself and ask that the Lord would direct your thoughts, direct your heart? But more importantly, well, not more importantly, but as importantly, mine. You know, as men, we stand up here and we hope and we pray that we have discerned the Lord's Spirit and His message enough that what we speak is not our words. There's no ability within me to do that. It only comes from the Lord. In your preparation for coming here, have you prayed for the one who is in charge? You know, on Wednesday night, we started a song service. And you know, I talked to my brother Gary about it because I felt that I, as a minister and as assistant pastor, when I started song services or when I started some of these, you know, song service, typically we come here and opening song, we offer a prayer, maybe we'll have another opening song, we just go right into it. And you know, and I felt really convicted that we weren't starting the service right. That we weren't preparing our hearts and our minds for what we were there to do. And Gary and I talked about it, and we come to a decision. Hopefully he remembered. It was after a bike ride the other day. We were both really exhausted. That we're going to try to make a better effort of trying to draw our hearts and our minds in before we come here into this place. And before we start a service. So we remember what the purpose of it is. Because coming here is not enough. Just being present is not enough. I truly believe the Lord has something for us any time that we desire to commune with Him. And yet that doesn't come casually. Well, I know that people like visuals. And so I brought some stuff this morning. And I want to kind of make a presentation here for you guys, and something hopefully to help you see what it is that I'm thinking about. Gage, I need you to come up here, young man. Last weekend, we were up at the ranch, and one morning, as I was outside of my tent cooking breakfast, Gage's brother Caleb came over, and he watched me intently as I cooked every bit of my breakfast. And in true loving brother fashion, he never asked for anything. But he reminded me with everything that I cooked that his brother Gage loved that. And so I know Gage is a growing boy and he's hungry. Are you hungry? I bet you are. When you hear what I have for you, you're going to be hungry. And so I brought some food for Gage this morning. And one of the first things that Caleb told me was that Gage really likes eggs. So I brought some eggs for Gage this morning. Please don't drop those. My mom will kill me. He also told me that you like hash browns. And so I've got some hash browns for you here. Bacon. You love bacon. Give you some bacon. Let's get you ready to eat here. Fork and a knife. Don't spill. And you'll probably be thirsty, so I got you some orange juice, which you also love. Maybe you want to sit on the table there and go ahead and start eating for me, Gage. I'm just going to preach my sermon if you want to go ahead and eat your meal. Why? It's cold? What's wrong with it? But this is food. It's not breakfast and you're not hungry. But if you were hungry, could you eat this, Gage?
Oh,
Right now, you could eat this? You're not hungry? Is there any other reason why you couldn't eat this, Gage? Aiden says it's frozen. The eggs aren't cooked. Ungrateful. You can sit down. The eggs aren't cooked. The hash browns are in a carton. I pulled the bacon out of our freezer and the orange juice as well. You know, I think of this when I think of the Lord, is that He has something always for us. There is a meal that is constantly prepared for us. If Gage wanted to eat this, he certainly could, but there's something that he would have to do. You know, he'd have to get a pan and he'd have to get it nice and hot and crack those eggs in there unless he wanted to drink his eggs, which I suppose some people might do. Those hash browns don't work unless you put a certain amount of hot water in that carton and let it soak and then throw it out and cook it. The bacon obviously is frozen, and even if it wasn't frozen, the only person I know who would eat it raw is Brandel, and he's not here. The orange juice is frozen solid, and that's to concentrate, so if you were able to get it, it would be so strong it wouldn't be very good. But you know, there is food there that is edible and that's able to sustain you. That right there, that meal right there, could probably take Gage throughout most of the day, and he might not be hungry until dinner. It is food that is fit for eat, but there's something that has to be done in order to eat it. I wasn't prepared today. I didn't bring anything to cook that for Gage, so he's not able to eat it. You know, when we approach the Lord, when we come to a service, when we open our scriptures, when we kneel in prayer, you know, there is something there for us. There is spiritual food. There is a blessing. There is something that the Lord has prepared for you, and it is ready for you. You have to be prepared for it. You have to be prepared for it. Please turn to Ecclesiastes in the fifth chapter. Ecclesiastes in the fifth chapter, I'm going to read the first and second verse here. It says this, "Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few." You know, this particular scripture, is talking about our attitude when we approach the Lord. It says, keep your foot. Understand what it is that you are doing and where it is that you are going, who it is that you are approaching. I have a concern, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we take our time here in this house casually. That we come in here with a casual attitude. You know, that we come in here dressed casually. We breeze in barely in time or late. You know, we don't put down our cell phones. We're worried about what the kids are doing. And we don't pay attention to what it is that we have come here for. Says that we need to be ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, I've thought about that. What is the sacrifice of fools? Something that is vain. Something that is of no value. Something that is, you know, a sacrifice was something that was brought to make an atonement. But, you know, there was an attitude that was necessary for sacrifice. We find that in the law of Moses. There was an attitude that was necessary. And, you know, if you came with the wrong attitude, the sacrifice was not accepted. You know, that's what Solomon is talking about here, is that, you know, there is a proper mindset, a proper attitude when we come into the house of the Lord. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You know, we need to approach the Lord, and we need to be ready to hear Him. Ready to hear Him. Hear what He has to say. Are we prepared to hear the Lord? You know, that's one of those things that we have to contemplate. Are we ready to hear Him? The Lord does not accept a casual follower. He doesn't answer someone who approaches Him in a casual manner. You know, there is a way. And, you know, if we were to look through in the law of Moses, or, you know, there was a way that when you approached the Lord, you had to do it, or else you would be struck down. You know, you would be killed. Because the Lord expected a certain preparation from somebody. We don't have that today. No one's going to be struck down if you come here and your mind is on what you have to cook for dinner or anything like that. But, you know, do we receive the blessing if we haven't prepared our heart and our mind to come here? I'll have you turn to the third book of Nephi, chapter 9. Page 654. I'm going to read the first two verses. And if we were to go back, we would see that the Lord has just spent a fair amount of time with the people here. He had served them sacrament. He had brought all sorts of teaching to them. And then he left. He ascended back up into heaven. But he told them, he said, you know, I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm going to teach you. I will be here. And so the people there, they departed. And now we're going to read what they did. Verse 1, it says, now it came to pass that when Jesus had ascended into heaven, the multitude did disperse, and every man did take his wife and his children and did return to his own home. And it was noised abroad among the people immediately, before it was yet dark, that the multitude had seen Jesus, and that he had ministered unto them, and that he would also show himself unto the multitude, and show himself on the morrow unto the multitude. Yea, even all night it was noised abroad concerning Jesus, insomuch that they did send forth unto the people, that they were many, an exceeding great number, did labor exceedingly all that night, that they might be in the morrow. They might be on the morrow in the place where Jesus would show himself unto the multitude. It came to pass that on the morrow the multitude was gathered together. And then it says that, you know, there were the ministry who were there and everything. Now you may think, oh, that's kind of a weird scripture to read. But, you know, again, I want to talk about preparation. We see this group of people here, they knew that the Lord was going to be present with them. They knew that He was going to come and He was going to continue teaching them. And what did they do? You know, they spent the entire night preparing for Him to be there. They went and they invited everybody. They made every preparation that was necessary so that they could be there. And it says in the morning, they were there. They were there. You know, they were prepared for the Lord to come. And their minds were there. Physically, they were there. You know, I know sometimes we have things going on in life. You know, yesterday, you know, I mean, it could have happened very well today. You know, my laundry room flooded. And, you know, that could have taken me a long time. You know, there's always things that come up. Sometimes we wake up, we don't feel good, or something's going on, we can't get the kids moving. You know, we really need to make an effort to be here, to be here on time, to be here prepared. You know, the Lord has something for us. We're running in late. We're not ready mentally. We're not. And we need to understand this, that, you know, the Lord has a meal fit for us, but it's not for everybody if you're not ready for it, if you're not prepared for it. You know, we have to be ready for the Lord, prepared to hear Him, prepared to converse with Him. My father left, he had a collection of experiences and admonitions and studies and stuff, and a good deal of them were from our brother Don Hausnick, and there was one that I had read yesterday, and I don't know if this was an article or what it was. It doesn't say what date it was, but the title of it is just Prayer. And he devotes 4 pages to talking about the importance of prayer. And he says 2 things that I want to read today. He says in here, neglecting to pray opens the door to the declining of many a person's spirituality. Prayers are annulled when backbiting, brawling, or evil speaking is in the same house. This statement I want us to concentrate on. It says, there would be greater spirituality in church services if more prayers were offered before attending the house of God. Impatience, irritability, sour face, or word would be less evident if the prayer closet were used more often, and smiles, pleasantries, and meekness were a result of more frequent visits to that retreat. Perhaps no exercise has been more abused than this. It says prayer can affect every facet of our life. Even our social activities can be much more enjoyed and the atmosphere of our gatherings enlivened with light and life if we would pray more often in our homes, our shops, and fields. We might be surprised at what seems to be an improvement in the preaching of the Word, when really it's an awakening and awareness of the things that preachers have been telling us right along. We will discover new beauty in their words if we pray for them more often as we should. You know, our brother here was telling us that, you know, the preparation to hear the Lord's Word comes before you step into this house. It comes before you arrive here. It happens as you take that time in the morning. You know, he talks in this particular study about the importance of praying, you know, not only when you wake up or before you go to sleep, but finding and making time throughout the day for the Lord. Changes your mindset and prepares you for what may come next. I'd have you turn, if you would, to Ezekiel in the 14th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says this, Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his faith, and cometh to face, and cometh unto the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Turn your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face, then cometh unto the prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and cut him off from the midst of the people, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, here he says that you know, these are men, and you know, they were coming to the right person. They came to the Lord. They had something that they wanted to know. The Lord said, listen, there is so much going on within these men's hearts and within their minds and within their lives that is more important than I am, that they are not able to hear me. They can't hear what I have to say. They are not prepared for the word of the Lord because they have too much stuff going on within them. You know, that's why it's important that we realize, you know, this quest that we have here of following the Lord, it cannot be casual. You know, so often I have found in my life that I'm praying for something and, you know, my heart is just not in it. And I'm not prepared for a blessing even if the Lord wanted to give it to me. I think about that. You know, every day when I'm at work, I offer a prayer over my food. And, you know, sometimes we go in and we'll eat in our lunchroom there at my station. And you know, there's always people coming and going. And there's a TV on. And there's a guy who always eats about the same time. And he makes his food in a blender. And it's really loud. And, you know, everybody's talking and all that. And, you know, it's hard to concentrate for a few moments. And so oftentimes I'll bow my head and I'll say a quick prayer. And you know, it's thoughtless. It's thoughtless. I wasn't prepared to approach the Lord. You know, I don't believe that the Lord is pleased with that sort of effort. If you turn to page 225, I'm going to finish this particular thought process and move on to another one. But in Mosiah in the third chapter, here King Benjamin makes a statement that I think is very important as we consider that you know, everybody's here today. Hopefully you didn't come here out of obligation. Hopefully you came here because you wanted to hear what the Lord had for you today, that you wanted to study the Scriptures, you wanted to fellowship, you wanted to have that Christian communication with each other, and you want the Lord to work and move within your life and within your heart. Here in Mosiah in the third chapter, I'm going to read verses 16 through 20, and it says this. Benjamin is speaking to the people. He says, I say unto you that I would that you should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts. And that's the name of Christ he's talking about. That you're not found on the left hand of God, but that you hear and know the voice by which he shall be called, and also the name by which he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master whom he has not served, who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and the intents of his heart? I say again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay, he will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flocks, but he will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you, even it so it shall be among you, if you know not the name by which you are called. You know, King Benjamin says this. He says, you know, how does a man know a master who he hasn't served, who's strange to him, and who doesn't think about that master? You know, this first part right here, I've really talked about your preparation and my preparation to hear the Lord. You know, I told you yesterday about the problem, the controversy that was in my mind as I knew I had a responsibility today. And you know, I'll admit to you that throughout this past week, I haven't spent much time looking at my scriptures, nor have I spent much time praying as I ought to. And you know, here it says that we don't know a master who's far from the thoughts and the intents of our heart. You know, there's a preparation that's necessary when we approach the Lord. You know, I want us to think about, are we prepared? Have we taken preparation? You know, when we kneel down to pray, again, that's something that cannot be casual. Do we think about what it is that we are doing? I want you to turn to the book of Moroni in the 7th chapter. You know, it's easy to do. I know I'm supposed to pray. It's a habit. And so sometimes when I pray, it's just words that I know how to say, well rehearsed. Page 764. You know, the well rehearsed words are things that I've done thousands of times. And yet the Lord tells us that there is a preparation necessary before we approach His throne in prayer. Again, there's something that He wishes to give for us. There's a blessing, there's a comfort, there's a strength, there's a guidance, there's something there, I believe, every time we approach the Lord. Verse 5, it says, For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. Behold, it's not counted unto him for righteousness. Behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Therefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained a gift. He is counted evil before God. And likewise, it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. You know, he says that if we pray, and it's not with real intent of heart, there is no true thought behind it. We're saying something because we're supposed to say it, because my mom always told me I pray before I eat, or whatever it is. You know, if my heart is not in it, if I'm not truly thankful, if I kneel down to pray for Sister Dolly as she was administered to here, and I'm not truly praying that the Lord will lift her up, I'm going through the motions. It's better that I don't pray. It's better that I don't pray because it is not counted. It profits us nothing, and God does not receive it. You know, there is something that in our mind that we have to prepare ourselves to approach the Lord. You know, I talked to my Uncle Joel about that once. He told me, he says, you know, sometimes I come into church, he says, you know, and I'm busy, my day's been busy. He says, you know, I sit down, I'm just here. He says, and all of a sudden someone will say something or something will happen. He says, and I realize I have to get my mind in order. My mind has not been there. And he says, I'm not able to participate because my mind is not there. And, you know, we have to have our mind prepared to approach the Lord. It cannot be a casual thing. When we kneel down and pray, or when we come here, if we're not truly intending to take part, to hear, to participate, to approach the Lord, you know, I have a hard time sometimes. You know, Wednesday nights, I'll tell you, is always tough for me. It's a couple days into my work week, especially in the summertime, you know, it's hot. And I spend a lot of my time during my day outside. You know, I'm wearing 30 pounds of black gear, you know, standing out there on the asphalt and everything, and I'm tired and I'm exhausted. I want to, you know, I just get home and have enough time to barely throw some food down my throat, and I come here, and, you know, it's hard for me sometimes. But you know, what if the Lord wanted to speak to me and I was not prepared for it? You know, what if the Lord wants to do things for us continually and yet we as a people are not prepared to hear it? What if you as a person want to know who it is that you're to marry or what job it is that you're to apply for or if you're supposed to go to college here or how you're supposed to take care of your money or whatever it is. And yet when you come, your mind is so taken with other things. Your intent is not there. You know, I've never known the Lord to force anything down anybody's throat. He speaks at the time when He's ready and when we're ready. And I'm the only one who can control if my mind and my heart is in the right place. Turn to page 639 in the third book of Nephi, the fifth chapter. I want to say something else here before I read this. As you know, I don't want to stand up here, and I'm certainly not, even though it may sound like it, I'm not trying to give a lecture. I guess in a way it is, but it's very much to me. I've had a big burden upon my heart lately, and it's not for any of you guys, it's for me, that I am not doing in my life, and I am not where the Lord would have for me to be. You know, as we were up at the ranch last weekend, our brother Jay, he mentioned it to me twice. He mentioned it once to me in private, and then he said in a sermon that he preached, he said, you know, I have this excitement. Things are about to start happening. We're going to watch and see that the gospel is going to just blossom and grow. He says, I'm excited about it. He says, I can feel it. And you know, as he said that, I felt this conviction in my heart that, you know, I'm not ready for that. My life is not in a place where I can be a participant in that. I wonder if we as a people are ready for that. Are we prepared for the Lord to converse with us and to move among us? 3 Nephi chapter 5, starting in verse 97. Here, the Lord is talking to the people there. He says, when thou prayest, do not as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray unto the Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward the opening. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye therefore not like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need before you ask Him. You know, here he tells us what it is that we ought to do. You know, that we must take time out of our daily life to converse with the Lord. In private. In quiet. To commune with Him. To speak to Him. Not to say those same words that we always say. Not to say things that sound good. But to speak to Him in sincerity, the things of our heart. It says that when we do that, you know, the Lord is going to show Himself to us openly. We're going to see Him work. We're going to see Him move. We're going to see Him do these things that He promises us. Miracles, speaking under the influence of the Spirit, healings, admonitions, prophecy. All these things. You know, we have this responsibility as members of Jesus Christ, of His church, to be an advocate for Him, to speak when there is opportunity, to testify, to stand up. You know, I don't want to lift her up, but you know, I want to commend Mary Galvan. I've watched her do some things standing up at school on a computer. You know, there's this Facebook thing going on right now where she made a statement there on Facebook about a belief that she had, and it started a little bit of a conversation. You know, but I think, how about that though? She's not afraid to stand up for what she believes in. And I don't say that to lift up Mary. Mary, don't get a big head. But, you know, she's doing the things that she's asked to do. We are called to be a witness at all times and in all places, and that will bring us scrutiny. You know, are we prepared to be led by the Lord and to speak for Him? We need to think about that. Please turn to Proverbs in the 16th chapter. I don't want to get completely into this, but you know, a couple weekends ago we had a men's breakfast and study here, and our brother Jay gave a study here, and he talked about the fact that, you know, there may be a time when you know, he said, you know, we have to be in a position for the Lord to tell us. There may be times when we will have to stand up and speak. And we can't do it of our own selves. We have to be led by the Lord. You know, there may be a time when one of us or many of us or whatever, you know, we may have to stand before all sorts of people, people who may hate us, people who may disagree with us, whatever it is, and to speak the Lord's name. And that doesn't happen casually. We have to be prepared for that. Chapter 16 of Proverbs, starting in the first verse, it says, "The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." You know, this word here, this verse here says, "Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." You know, in Sunday school this morning, we read a scripture talking about in Luke in the 21st chapter, where it talks about the last days and the things that are going to happen. And it talks about how, you know, that there will be a time when there will be great persecutions, and the people will be, you know, where it's going to be in your face. People will take you, and they'll try to punish you. They'll try to do all these things because of where you go, what you believe in, what beliefs you espouse as your own. And it says that, you know, the Lord will guide your thoughts. He'll give you the answer in those times. He will help you to speak for Him. But, you know, that happens only if we do these things. Commit your works unto the Lord. You know, we have to have a greater commitment. I have to have a greater commitment. You know, we're going to start at work. You're not going to get a bunch of cops to decide all of a sudden that they want to do fitness testing. Once upon a time in my department, they had fitness standards. They don't now, trust me. And but you know, there's been this push. We want to get officers in better shape, you know. And so they finally got it pushed through in our new contract, you know, that we're allowed to have optional fitness testing once a year. And if you go and you do a fitness testing, you know, you just go and you get a T-shirt. So at least I'm going to get a T-shirt next month. But if you score a certain amount in these things, you know, they're going to give you a ribbon. Kind of like when you were in track and field back in elementary school. I'm going to get a ribbon that I can hang on my uniform when I'm in my dress uniform, you know. And you know, my squad, we take that pretty seriously. We're a pretty active group of guys. We end up, just because of the nature of what we do, we're a lot more active than the average squad. And so we've taken this as a challenge. And my sergeant is texting us almost every night, "I just did 58 push-ups in a minute." You know, and he's telling us, "Everybody's going, everybody's running." You know, and he's invited us to come over and laugh at him while he runs and stuff like that, you know. But he wants us to be prepared. But, you know, I don't really like to run. Once upon a time I did. But now my knees hurt so bad. I finish running and my knees just ache. I feel terrible. You know, I want to do really good in this, but, you know, unless I make a mindset that I'm going to go and I'm going to work hard, even though it's difficult, you know, I'm going to go to this fitness testing and I'm going to look like a fool and see if I keel over during the run. You know, it's hard to say. But, you know, these are the things I think is the same in our spiritual life. You know, there are things and there are rewards and there are blessings that the Lord has for us and wants to give us. It's within our mind to put our life to doing those things. You know, I can't get any better at running. Once upon a time, I ran a lot, and I was pretty good at it. But, you know, that was a marriage and two kids ago. and it's not like that anymore, you know. But I can get there if I decide to put my mind to it. You know, we can be in a position where the Lord can lead us in the things that we say and the things that we do if we commit and if we make an effort to prepare ourselves, to study and know His Word. To make effort to understand where our place is before Him and to better ourselves and to better our lives. And the Lord asks for us to be His advocate here on earth. You know, we are to call men to repentance, to present it before them. But you know, if we speak of ourselves, we're not able to do it. The Lord is able to guide us in the things that we say and that we do. But you know, it's not a casual venture. It's not a casual venture. It takes effort on our part to be prepared. If you turn to 1 Corinthians in the third chapter, and I'm just going to read the first two verses here. Paul says, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able." You know, he tells the people there, he says, you know, I have got things to talk to you about. The Lord wants me to tell you things that are spiritual, spiritual truths and guidance and direction. He says, but you know, you're just like children. You're only able to take milk. Your stomach is not ready for something of more substance. And, you know, I think about that in my life. You know, I've been called to the office of a priest, and I know that the Lord has a plan for me to continue this, to take part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and where that may lead me someday, I don't know. But I know that if I'm still taking just the milk, if I have not grown up spiritually, matured spiritually beyond that which I am, I'm not able to accomplish what the Lord would like to accomplish with me. With me. And I think that applies to each one of us. You know, that we have a responsibility in our spiritual walk that we don't become stagnant. That we don't just sit and tread water. It's not sufficient. You know, Paul all the time talks about the fact that we're in a race here. We're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. We got a long way to go, but you know, we have to be preparing ourselves for it. Maturing and growing. You know, there are things I think the Lord would like to tell us, but we're not able to bear it. There are things, you know, there's things and perhaps within your own mind or within your own life, there may be questions that you have that you want the Lord to show you an answer to, but you're not able to bear it. You're not able to bear what He would have to give you because your life is not where it ought to be. Now, I know that's the way it is in my life. I have been assured that the Lord has things that He would like to tell me or show me or do with me. And yet I know that where I am right now, I'm not able to bear it. I have to be prepared for it. I have to order my life in the way that He's asked me to. I want us to think about that. I want us to think about that. You know, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are you prepared? When you step out of here today, are you prepared to be challenged? Are you prepared to be challenged? We spent my Sunday school today talking about that, being prepared to be challenged. You know, this conversation that's being had on Facebook right now that Mary started, I blame her for it. I jumped in on it because it ends up being a conversation about evolution. And I think it's a good conversation to have. And there's someone there who does not believe in God, does not believe in creation, and thinks that evolution is the absolute truth, the end-all, be-all. And I think it's a decent conversation to have. I think it's good for us to listen to what people are saying. Because I think that if we're not prepared to be challenged, we can be deceived. If we're not prepared to be challenged, someone can say something to us and completely bowl us over. I cannot believe what they just said. God does not exist. You know, we have a responsibility to be ready, to be up to a challenge. You know, Paul tells Timothy, he says, you know, you study to show yourself approved. says, you know, you know what it is that the Lord has in His Scriptures so that you can answer these things. You know, there's been times in my life where I've heard something or where someone has said something, and, you know, I didn't have an answer for it. And it caused me some concern, you know. What if what they said was right and my entire faith is without any basis? You know, I turn to the Scriptures and I do some studying and I find that the Lord proves Himself again and again. But, you know, we have to be prepared to be challenged. You know, Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, when you have to always have the armor of God on. You get up in the morning and you throw on the armor of God and you get ready to go out to go to battle. I would not step out into work without my handgun. I would not do it. I wouldn't step out to work, and I think Aaron and the other police officers are here. Aaron, would you step out to work without your radio? Why not? Okay. It's probably the most important piece of equipment I have is my radio. All right? It's my communication. It's my help. You know, if I go out of my car and I go to contact somebody and all of a sudden a challenge is before me, that is my lifeline. I can call for someone to come help me and rescue me. You know, I think it's one of the most important pieces of equipment I own. I wouldn't step out without it. You know, because I know when I step out to work every day that I am going to walk into a dangerous situation. I've preached sermons about this before, about the importance of being prepared and knowing that when we step out of these doors, we're going to be challenged. You know, are you prepared for it? Do you wake up every morning and you put on the armor of God? Are you prepared? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you ready to speak and to tell people what it is, what the reason of hope that is within you? You know, are your most vital parts guarded with righteousness? You have your shield of faith. Are you ready with all these things? You know, when we step out, are we ready to be challenged? I'm not going to turn to it because it's kind of a long reading, but, you know, I've always been impressed. In Alma, in the 21st chapter, it talks about Moroni. And Moroni, you know, he was given charge of the entire army of the Nephites. And they were in a battle. And it was a battle that was going to be to the death. The Lamanites were going to come, and their sole purpose was to destroy them off the face of the earth. And Moroni looked, and he saw, as he looked at everything that the Nephites had, he saw that there was some cities that were very strong. And he saw that there were some that were so weak that they would fall in a moment. And so what did he do? You know, he looked and he made an assessment. And it says in the Scripture there, it says, you know, when all of a sudden, he said, he had made preparations for battle. And he said, you know, the Lamanites came and they came to one city and they looked at it and there was a big old deep trench dug. And they said, you know, it was so deep and they'd thrown up a mound of defense so high, you know, their arrows couldn't even get up there. So the Lamanites turned around and they said, we're going to go to this other city, this weak city. And they got there and it says that Moroni had prepared it and they found that it was even more fortified than this first place. You know, he looked and he saw his weaknesses. He looked and he saw and what he was in charge of, where he lacked. He knew a challenge was coming. He knew a battle was going to be there. And he prepared himself. You know, do you look at your life with an honest eye to see where you're weak? Said it before and I'll tell you again, I know my weakness. It's pride. My greatest weakness. I had a sister tell me one time, she said, she had just met me, and she said, you know, the Lord told me that He can do great things with you if you can put aside your pride. You know, do you look in your life to see what it is that inhibits you from serving the Lord? Are you ready to be challenged there? You know, we have a responsibility to be prepared. Because we're asked to speak for God. We're asked to be a witness for Him. We're asked to do all these things. I got two more points I want to talk about, and then I'm going to close because I appreciate your attention. I know I've been preaching for a while here. I want to turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. I want to ask you that you think about, are you prepared to commune with the Lord? Are you prepared to have intercourse with Him, a talk, a conversation, a dwelling of His Spirit, a give and take with Him? You know, here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's talking about our attitude when we come to partake of the sacrament. And I think that this is so very important. Paul makes statements here that I think we really have to contemplate. And I'll start in verse 27. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let that man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." You know, Paul is talking about here what it is when we come before the Lord to partake of the sacrament. And he says, you know, that we're to examine ourselves. And that word examine, you know, it means to test or to approve. It says to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. You know, we can't be casual when we come to partake not only of the sacrament, but when we come to participate in the ordinances of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can't be a casual endeavor. We have to have preparation. You know, and if I come, you know, if I want to put the challenge out there that, you know, if you come tonight, if you prepare to walk into this house and your mind is not in it, examine yourself. Get your mind in the right place. Prepare yourself for what the Lord would have for you. You know, because coming here and sitting here is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. No more than this right here, it's not sufficient. That's not fit to eat as I placed it there. Without being prepared, it's not fit to eat. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about how, you know, we receive the spiritual things of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. A man can't receive the things of God. It only comes through His Spirit. And that Spirit only comes when our mind is ready. We're ready to commune with Him. I want to close here. I want to read Alma in the third chapter. Just a handful of verses here, starting in verse 31. And here Alma is talking to the church, and he's asking them, where do you stand? Where are you right now in your life? And in verse 31 he says, "Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds that have been done in this mortal body?" You know, he asks, he says, you know, do you guys look and see that one day you're not going to be here alive anymore? You're going to stand before the Lord. And you're going to be judged. Do you think about it? Says, "Can you imagine yourselves that you hear the voice of the Lord saying in that day, 'Come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth'? Or do you imagine that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, 'Lord, our works have been righteous upon the face of the earth,' and that He will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourself brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt? Yet a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness and a remembrance that you have set at defiance the commandments of God." You know, he's asking the people there to look at your life. What is it that you see? What will be left when you pass on to the next and you stand before the Lord? He says, "Can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? Can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenance?" We flip over to the 47th verse. He says, "Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Could you say if you were called to die at this time within yourselves that you've been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ who will come to redeem the people from their sins? Are you stripped of pride? Behold, I say unto you, if you're not prepared to meet God. You must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life." You know, are we prepared for when that time comes, when we stand face to face before the Lord. You know, life is uncertain. It's quick, and it's uncertain. And none of us know our time. None of us know when the Lord will call us home. None of us know what things lie ahead. Are we prepared? You know, do we live our life every day preparing for the next step? There is only one way, and it is putting our effort into being sincere about approaching the Lord. Being sincere when you come here into this house. Being sincere when you kneel in prayer. I just want to just say again, you know, that I believe that this is what the Lord is like right here. There is enough of a meal right there to satisfy any one of you. But without some effort on your part, all it is a bunch of frozen food there. And I believe that as we come here, the Lord has something for us. Every day, every time. Song service, Sunday school, fundraiser dinner, you know, whatever it is, the Lord has something that He could and He wants to accomplish with us. If only in the fellowship, the strength that He wants to give you. You know, but if we haven't prepared ourselves for it, if we come because it's what we're supposed to do, or my mom tells me to, or that's the way I've always prayed, or whatever it is, you know, we're not ready, we're not willing, we're not desirous to hear Him. We miss out. We miss out on the meal, on the blessing, on what He has to give for us. I hope this has made sense. I got to be honest with you. I've really struggled today. But I hope that you contemplate these things, that you think about where it is and what it is. What is it to come to this house? What is it to come before the Lord? And that you prepare yourself for whatever the Lord would have for you. So I appreciate your attention today.